We are in very dangerous times in the world. With China, with India, Pakistan. And yet we as Christians know what's going to happen at the end. We already know the whole history. But at the same time, we have to live here, our children, our grandchildren, and we have to pray about the future, what's going to happen to our families if they don't come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Well, it's good to have you along today for our continuing study on the courageous faith of a young woman named Esther. As Raul explores the events leading to Esther's bold request for the king to spare her people from death, we'll see God's sovereign might on full display. Raul will show us that no matter what hardship or trial Satan might throw your way, as his child, God is with you and he's always in control. Here's Raul Reese in Esther chapter 2.
And then in verse 5 he says, "And in Shushan, the winter palace for the king, he says, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai." Notice that. "The son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite." Now, this is so neat because here, for the first time, we see this beginning of the true story of Esther right here in chapter 2, verse 5. This begins the story of Esther. Look how beautiful this is, verse 6. "And Kish had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captives who had been captured with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away." Remember, the Babylonians came and they made 3 sieges against Jerusalem as God was punishing the Jews for not keeping the Sabbaths. Remember? And because they had disobeyed God in worshiping other gods. So they had to go for 70 years into captivity. Daniel is found in Daniel chapter 1 there in Babylon at the age of 13 years of age. Now, what's interesting here is he's giving you the background to Saul's father that had been carried away from Jerusalem to the captives that had been captured by Jeconiah the king. So now verse 7, he says, "And Mordecai had brought up Hadash," that's Esther's name, it means in the Hebrew star. He says that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. She had been adopted, notice, and when her father and mother died, Mordecai took her as his own daughter. So here we have the introduction to Esther. And Esther had natural beauty when she came to the throne. She stood out above everybody else because it was natural beauty. It wasn't something that she had to put on herself. God made her beautiful. And there are beautiful women in the world today that really, they don't really need much makeup. They're just natural beautiful. God has blessed them with beauty. And I think that could be a great temptation. That can be a great snare. But I think that if you have God in your life and God has blessed you with beauty, just be careful that you don't abuse it or use it to destroy somebody else. Make sure you give glory and honor to the Lord for what he's given to you. Just like God used Esther here. Look what it says in verse 8, the encouragement now. "And so it was when the king's command and decree, the law, were heard, and when many young women were gathered at Shushan in the winter palace under the custody of Haggai, that Esther also was taken to the king's palace into the care of Haggai, the custodian of the women." What is God doing? God is using Mordecai to get Esther into the palace. You see? God is moving her in. And then verse 9, "And now the young woman pleased him." Pleased who? Pleased the king. "And she obtained his favor." After watching 400 women, he said, "That's the one right there, Esther." And so he readily gave beauty preparations to her. Notice that. "Besides her allowance, then 7 choice maid servants were provided for her for the king's palace. And he moved her and her maid servants to the best place in the house of women. Imagine that. You know what it said there? Notice what it said. The young woman pleased him, and she obtained his favor. And so he readily gave beauty preparations to her beside her allowance. She got everything paid for. Whatever you want, whatever you need, is there for you to have a woman's dream in this world. And yet, God is behind this whole thing here. Going again through this motion. And then Esther, verse 10, had not revealed her people or family. She never said, I'm a Jew. Never said that. Mordecai said, don't say nothing. Keep quiet. God was behind this whole thing. Don't say nothing until the proper time. So she had never revealed her people or family, for Mordecai had charged her not to reveal it. And every day, Mordecai paced in front of the court of the woman's quarters and learned of Esther's welfare and what was happening to her. So here we have a Mordecai kind of worrying, pacing back and forth. I wonder how she's doing. I wonder what's going on. It shows you a little bit of lack of faith in God taking care of everything. But here she's inside and God is in full control of everything. And yet God has him there for such a time as this. Verse 12. He said, and each young woman's turn came to go into the king Ahasuerus after she had completed 12 months. 1 year to going through perfumes and baths and creams and getting ready to stand before the king. Can you imagine that? Now it's time. According to the regulations for the women, for thus were the days of their preparation apportioned, 6 months with oil and myrrh, 6 months with perfumes and preparations for beautifying women. Imagine that. And the word preparations here, fumigations with other cosmetics, it says in the Hebrew. So, I mean, they had it all. Verse 13, and thus prepared, each young woman went to the king, and she was given whatever she desired to take with her from the woman's quarters to the king's palace. And in the evening, she went, and in the morning, she returned to the second house of the women. And she would not go into the king again unless the king delighted in her and called her by her name. So you couldn't go in and out. The king would have to call for you by name. You see? And then verse 15, and now when the turn came for Esther, the daughter of Abijah, the uncle Mordecai, who had taken her as his daughter to go into the king, she requested, notice, nothing. She's not impressed. She knows she's in God's perfect will. But Haggai, the king eunuch, the custodian of the women, advised, and Esther obtained favor in the sight of all who saw her. There she was. She stood above everybody else. She couldn't be compared to anybody else. And so Esther was taken to the king Ahasuerus, into his royal palace. In the 10th month, which is the month of Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign, this is between December and January, December 479 or early January 478. And here, notice what it says. And the king loved Esther more than all the other women. And she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. And so he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Whoa. Imagine that. God setting the order. You know, sometimes we get worried about the next president of the United States, next governor, whoever, next mayor, whatever. I think that even though we pray and maybe our candidate loses whatever and somebody gets set inside, you know, whatever happens, God is in control. That doesn't mean that we don't vote. We need to vote. We need to do what's right. And we need to choose the right candidate. But then God overrules whatever he wants to do. And the reason that he overrules, how many times have we thought in going to the scripture that God uses evil for good? Maybe he's going to put somebody evil in the White House so that America not only will be totally taken down and not be a power anymore in the world. You ever think about that? The economy of the world of the United States will go down the tubes. And imagine becoming a third world country instead of a number one country. God's in control. God knows how to humble Nebuchadnezzar. He'll know how to humble the United States of America. Because we are in very dangerous times in the world. With Iran, with Iraq, with China, with India, Pakistan. And yet we as Christians know what's going to happen at the end. We already know the whole history. But at the same time, we have to live here, our children, our grandchildren, and we have to pray about the future, what's going to happen to our families if they don't come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They're going to see horrible things. If the Lord tarries and the Lord comes for His church very soon, takes us out of here, all hell's going to break loose. But if the Lord tarries and we're here, we're going to see some pretty heavy things. Because the Bible tells us so. Verse 17 again. The king loved Esther more than all the women. And what did he do? He put the crown upon her head, made her queen instead of Vashti. How do you think Vashti must have felt? Rejected. But yet God is the one that's doing this. Why? Because the devil already has a plan to destroy all the Jews. Just like Hitler wanted to do. And yet God knows what's up. Notice that. Verse 18. And then the king made a great feast, the feast of Esther, for all his officials and servants. And he proclaimed a holiday in the providence and gave gifts according to the generosity of the king. So he's giving back taxes back to the people to make them feel good, to get recognition. And when the virgins were gathered together a second time, Mordecai said within the king's gates. So the king's gates were what? The place of judgment. As the judges would sit there to make judgment.
This is Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. We're committed to empowering you with God's Word. For resources, call 800-634-9165 or visit somebodylovesyou.com. And while you're there, be sure and browse the details of an upcoming tour retracing the footsteps of the Apostle Paul. Raul would love to have you join him. Let's continue now with the conclusion of today's study.
Verse 20, and now Esther had not revealed her family or her people just as Mordecai had charged her. For Esther obeyed the command of Mordecai as when she was brought up by him. And in those days, while Mordecai sat within the king's gate, now check this out, here is God again. He just happens to be sitting at the gates, and all of a sudden he's sitting there and he hears these two guys plotting to kill the king, and God allows him to hear it so that he can turn him in. God steps in again. God's providence. Watch this. This is so cool. And in those days, while Mordecai was in the king's gate, two of the king's eunuchs, Bindam and Teresh, doorkeepers, became furious and sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. And so the matter became known to Mordecai, who told Queen Esther. And Esther informed the king in Mordecai's name. And when the inquiry was made into the matter, it was confirmed, and both were hanged on the gallows, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles in the presence of the king. And by the way, when this happened, Mordecai got no recognition. They forgot about him, and yet he was complacent with the Lord, and then life got on. And yet he actually was used in sparing the king's life, and they didn't even recognize that. So sad, but that happened. Verse 1 of chapter 3. And after this thing, the king Ahasuerus promoted Haman. So here now we come to the third character, Haman. Here he is. The son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes who were with him. Now guess who he belongs to. He comes as a descendant of Amalek. Isn't that interesting? If Saul would have killed all the Amalekites, he would not be there at this time. Look what happens. So now we see after 5 years, King Ahasuerus promotes Haman, the son of this Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes who were with him. So he got it lifted up. They put him in a place of preeminence, and it started going to his head. He started getting real proudful. He's a type here of this flesh, as we see Esther and we see Mordecai, types of the spirit. And all the king's servants who were within the king's gate bowed and paid homage to Haman, for so the king had commanded concerning him, but Mordecai would not bow or pay homage. Can you imagine how Haman must have felt when everybody was bowing to him, but when he came to Mordecai, Mordecai would say, I'm not bowing to you. Why? He was a Jew. And Jews do not bow to idols or any false gods. He wasn't being rebellious, but Haman took it personally. He hated Mordecai because every time he would see him, he would not bow. So now, watch this. Verse 2. And all the king's servants who were within the gate bowed to him and paid homage to Haman. And for so the king had commanded concerning him, but Mordecai would not do that. And then the king's servants who were with him, the king's gate, said to Mordecai, why do you transgress the command of the king? Why aren't you doing it? The king commanded it. Why don't you do it? And now it happened, when they spoke to him daily and he would not listen to them, that they told it to Haman to see whether Mordecai's words would stand. For Mordecai had told them that he was a Jew. And when they found out that he was a Jew, that's it. Let's look for now a plan how we can kill every Jew in the kingdom. That Satan's behind that now. The works of the flesh are behind all that. Notice that. And then when Haman saw that Mordecai did not bow or pay his homage, Haman was filled with wrath. He was mad, but he disdained to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had told him on the people of Mordecai. Instead, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews who were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, the people of Mordecai. What did Satan try to do from the beginning of time? Destroy the line of Jesus. Here it is again. Trying to destroy all the Jews. Just like Hitler. Another Holocaust. So it's not just one. It's happened in past history. Here it is right here. He says that he wanted to destroy them. And check this out, verse 7. And in the first month, which is the month of Nisan, not Nisan cars, notice, okay? In the 12th year of the king Ahasuerus, which is March, April 4, 74 BC, they cast lots before Haman to determine the day and the month until it fell on the 12th month of the month of Adar, or between February and March. And then Haman said to the king Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered and dispersed among the people in all the province of your kingdom. Now check this out. He goes to the king and he says, guess what, king? There are some people here that are weird and they're strange. And guess what? They're Jews. And guess what? He doesn't know that his wife's a Jew. Esther, watch this. And there is a certain people scattered and dispersed among the people in all the province of your kingdom. Their laws are different from all other people, and they do not keep the king's laws. And I'm just going to add this, and you're married to one of them. And you don't even know it. Therefore, it is not fitting for the king to let them remain. And if it pleases the king, let all decree be written that they be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those who do the work to bring it into the king's treasuries. I will pay you $19 million. Wow. $19 million. Equal almost to 70% of the king's annual revenue. Financially, what he was offering. Imagine that. And so the king took his signet, his ring, from his hand and gave it to Haman and the son of Hammedatha, the Agite, the enemy of the Jews. Now, at this particular point you're reading, you're saying, where's God? Now they're going to make a law, and the law of the Persians never changes. Once they sign it, They have to follow through. And the king said to Haman, the money and the people are given to you to do with them as it seems good to you. And the king's scribes were called on the 13th day. Interesting, 13th day, the 13th is the number of who? Satan. Of the first month. A decree was written according to all that Haman commanded. So he thinks it's really important now. Notice that. To the king's satraps here, and to the governors and who were over each province, to the officials of all people, to every province according to its script, and to every people in their language, in the name of the king Ahasuerus, it was written and sealed with his what? With his ring. The seal of the king. It's done. And the letters were sent by the couriers into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, to annihilate all Jews, both young and old, little children and women. Man, imagine Hitler tried to do that. Here it is in the book of Esther. In one day, on the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, the 14th day of December, and to plunder their possessions. Notice that. Take everything from them. And a copy of the document was to be issued as law in every province, every town, being published for all people that they should be ready for that day. And the couriers, the mail carriers, went out. They hastened by the king's command, and the decree was proclaimed in Shushan, in the winter palace. So the king and Haman sat down. They began to drink, but the city of Shushan was perplexed. Everybody was upset. They couldn't believe it. Just like when we saw what Hitler was doing, he said, what is this guy doing? Trying to kill every Jew. And yet, we see God standing behind, just waiting for the right time, for the right moment, to put in Esther. And Esther will step up to the plate and say, oh, king, my husband. And then all of a sudden, the handprint of God begins to be shown.
If you've been focused on your personal life agenda and have never truly surrendered to the Lord, we encourage you to entrust your heart and your future to God's care. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. To hear today's teaching again from Esther chapter 2, call us at 800-634-9165 and we'll send you an unedited version for a donation of $5 or more. We'd also like to equip you with an insightful book from Raul titled Victory, Overcoming Our Enemies. It's a resource that draws parallels between Raul's Vietnam War experience and the spiritual battle raging daily all around us to illuminate what it looks like to stand firm in the Lord. You'll see that in spite of your weaknesses and imperfections, you can triumph in your trials through the power and authority of Jesus' name. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 and we'll send you Raul's book titled Victory, Overcoming Our Enemies for a gift of $14 plus shipping and handling. The number again is 800-634-9165. Or if you'd like, you can order by writing us at Somebody Loves You Radio, Post Office Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. We hope you'll take advantage of all of our free resources. If you've missed one of these programs or would like to listen to one again, use Spotify or iTunes to download the podcast. You can also send Raul an email with your Bible questions and personal prayer requests. His address is PastorRaul@SomebodyLovesYou.com. And be sure to download our app for access to live stream teaching, an online Bible reading group, and much more. Your partnership is pivotal to our ministry, and every contribution you make is tax deductible. Well, it's been a joy to be with you today, and we encourage you to join us again tomorrow as we return to the pages of God's Word for more instruction on how to love the Lord and obey Him with all of our hearts. Now, here's Raul once again.
If you're not a Christian, somebody invited you, you came on your own, whatever, but you want to go to heaven. You don't want to go to hell. You're willing to repent because you have realized that you have sinned against God. Sin separates us from God. And the Bible says that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then the Bible tells us in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us for our sins. And then Jesus says to you, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock of your heart. And if you open the door and invite me in, I'll come in and sup with you and you with me." He'll never force himself. You have to make the decision. If you want to receive Jesus Christ tonight and you want your sins to be forgiven, you want your name to be written in the book of life, and you want the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you and wash you from all sins and to have the guarantee of heaven, I'm going to ask you to get up and come to the front here and stand here, and I'm going to pray with you.
I am falling in love with you.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.